Hello and welcome to another episode of the Albion Raw here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at RadioReverb.com, on DAB, on Smart Speaker, and wherever you get your podcasts. I'm AD Packham and we are in danger of fizzling out in association with Flowers Unlimited. Well then, another trip to London ended in disappointment as Brentford put four past us to steal the points at the GTEC on Saturday. It was a result that leaves us in 10th with five to play and 9 points behind Chelsea, who is currently in sixth position. Next up, though, is Graham Potter, who returns to the Amex on Saturday with his struggling West Ham side. Will it be a case of a trip to Dr. Brighton, or can we rediscover our killer instinct and send him home with nothing? Joining me today is, of course, Alan Wiers, and we are always delighted to welcome back a journalist, an author, a musician. It's Nick Schrapanik. You're right.
Yes, thanks, guys. Yes, just about recovered from yes. Saturday.
Yeah. As we were saying, and as we were just chatting before the show, this is a therapy session. We're here to make you want to go to the Amex on Saturday, full of joy and vigour, and we're going to win.
Yeah, but
I'm not going to the Amex, unfortunately, because of a prior engagement to do with wife's birthday. So if I can take one for the team, I remember I took one for the team when we beat Manchester United 4-0.
You missed that.
I accepted an offer to report on, I think, Crystal Palace against Watford in the hope that that my absence would mean we won, and we did. So, you know, if me not being there brings us luck, then great, you know, and overcomes the Dr. Brighton curse. And, of course, they're a bottom six team, so bound to get at least a point, you'd think. But maybe it's just me being there that makes that happen.
Well, there was a point, Nick, when you were just a curse to our left back. So. It's hopefully that this can reinvigorate the side. But I mean, it was a disappointing afternoon, Nick, wasn't it? My overriding feeling was that we just became a little bit too predictable, a little bit too easy to play against.
We certainly were easy to play against. But it's interesting. I mean, I've got a good friend who's a Brentford fan, and he said what a good game it was, and how, you know, we just played good football but hadn't got any cutting edge. Oh, which, you know, considering we scored two goals away from home, could have got more. I think he'd identified the wrong path. He was just very soft-centred in defence was the problem. And if we're talking about left-backs, then I don't think Purvis covered himself in glory particularly. But, you know, he's supposed to be... was one of the fastest left-backs in the country. And you'd think that, you know, he would have been the guard against Mbeumo doing what he did, but it didn't happen at all.
It was a case of, I mean, with pretty much all of their goals, certainly the first one, just too many players out of position. I mean, Dunk got suckered over the halfway line. And it's just again, simple balls over the top.
I was watching that carefully. I don't think Lewis Dunk was in the wrong place. And I'll tell you why. What it was that the back four was there, and I think it was possibly Belaba was in the back with them. I could be wrong as to who the personnel was. And Dunk had pushed forward about 5 yards towards a player who was about, you know, 10 yards ahead of that line. But that person wasn't the problem. If Dunk hadn't done that and stayed as part of the line, then he'd have had a free rein. You know, that player would have had a free rein. So it was a case of trying to shut down the basically what they thought was going to be the out ball. And in the end, it was the other defenders that got suckered a little bit by what was actually a pass that, if it had gone a foot either side, it had to be so good, because anything that was either side was either going to get overhit or was going to get cut out, or, you know, it was actually, I'm going to credit it with being a really good pass.
Well, but it was the second time we've been cut open like that, because Verbruggen had to, you know, kick the ball away before when another pass through the middle had embarrassed us. And, you know, I know we're going to talk about this, but total lack of pace in our back four. And Purvis is supposed to be the fast one. But, you know, if he's not in the right position, then it doesn't really help.
Yeah. Yeah, and also I've mentioned this to AD after the game, and I think it is form rather than the sort of like a general malaise in his career. But I would go so far as to say that Lewis Dunk is he appeared to be playing without confidence He has he's to say he's playing at his worst and therefore he's finished, I think is way, way, way too premature and too over the top. But he has been playing with a certain lack of due care and attention that you'd actually normally associate with a rookie. You know, Cashin got pelters for a couple of mistakes he made against Villa. Now, I couldn't say that any of Dunk's mistakes directly led to goals, but there were a couple of times where he left Verbruggen sort of like hurtling out, you know, just getting ahead of the defender and therefore risking a red card if he was sort of like a yard slower. And that is not the kind of thing that generally over the past, 12, 13 years, you'd associate with Dunk. You know full well that he's always had a better relationship, working relationship, with the myriad goalkeepers that he's played with.
Well, concentration goes when you're absolutely knackered. And he had, I think, a two-week rest after the Euros. By all accounts, accounts, a bit of inside knowledge I've gleaned, he was, you know, joining full-on England training every day. And, of course, they got all the way to the final. So that was happening, you know, until the last game of last season. Then he had 2 weeks off and then was back in training. You know, perhaps the fact that he's had some injuries were a saving grace and actually allowed him a little bit of rest. But concentration is affected by exhaustion. I think he just looks, you know, that... like he's the end of a long season, not a season with five games or six games to go. And two of the goals went in off him, but of course that's just a typical piece of bad luck, you know, and an occupational hazard of being a defender who chucks his body in the way of everything, which he did. I mean, the third goal was so not his fault. He was actually trying to rescue the situation and ended up diverting the shot past Verbruggen. But I think, you know, we have to go back to Purvis being massively out of position when a ball was launched down the right to Mbeumo.
Yeah, I mean, also don't forget we were saying there earlier. I mean, like form is temporary, class is permanent, right? So, and fatigue does come into it, but also we've had a massive change of characters in defence over the last few weeks as well, which also adds to the general malaise. And it's like, you know, our first choice defenders haven't been available, I don't think, you know.
Sorry, AED, are you of the opinion, therefore, because I think you kind of raised this, or you and Andy did it recently, are you of the opinion, and maybe you can ask Nick about this, that Lewis Dunk for you is not one of the first choice back four?
A fit and on form Lewis Dunk is always going to get in the team, but I'm not necessarily talking about Lewis, but I'm saying that, you know, Webster was the informed defender when he got injured. Joel Veltman would have started most of these games. Mm-hmm. Tarek Lamptey would have certainly been a right back ahead of Vifa and Hinshelwood. You know, and it's, you know, we're trying to put shoehorn players into like, we're trying to put round pegs in square holes.
I think Van Hecker's the first name on the team sheet in the back at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, he's the only one at the moment.
Hertzler has been pretty consistent that Dunk is the leader and his captain.
Mm-hmm.
So it just happened that, you know, Webster was showed great form when he was. It would be very interesting to know what would have happened, you know, if all three had been fit. Would he have then gone to the back three, which he considered was an option? Might that have been the best system, actually, to play Van Hecker, Webster and Dunk?
I think he'd probably had a greater option to rotate, wouldn't he? Although, is that a good idea?
But he talks about partnerships. You know, he said, you know, he would like to keep more unchanged teams, and not that he's ever had a chance, because
not one.
In players having partnerships. He's talked about Estupiñán and Mitoma down the left. But, you know, circumstances have meant that he just hasn't been able to do that.
You know, I mean, the Purvis has always worked much better in tandem with Carew, isn't he? And it's like, you know, and it's like, again, a little bit of lack of form. Maybe he's carrying a little bit of a niggle. Obviously, he's had lots of travelling recently as well, backwards and forwards from South America. You know, they're human beings at the end of the day. We have to remember that.
I'd be more than happy if none of them were internationals, though. Well,
that is true.
That is really, I know, that is totally selfish. And of course, as it's like Gus Poyet said, it's the greatest honour that you can have is to play for your country. And there's no way he'd stop, even if it was an inconvenience to his side, there's no way he'd stop anyone playing for their country. It's just the sort of, I mean, we lucked out slightly with Matoma, as much as he didn't have to go to Japan. But you know, like I say, when you've got you know, three or four players have to go to South America and they don't come back until the Thursday and you're playing on the Saturday, it effectively makes them unavailable. I mean, that's got to be looked at. If a country's playing on Wednesday and they've the player's still got to fly back, you're effectively making them unavailable for the next round of games. And that's, I don't think that's reasonable.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, well, I mean, Nick, you alluded to that the early warning signs were there when another ball, a simple ball through over the top, caught us out, and Visser should probably have scored. And actually, it was a good save by the Bruggen. But I mean, after Brentford got their noses in front. We did come into the game more, and actually, Minté probably should have equalised it pretty much straight away.
How many times are you going to say that, AD?
Well, if he keeps missing,
forever.
I can't help it. I want to say, what I really want to say is Minté scored an equaliser, and they went on to win the game. That would be great.
No, sorry, go on, Nick. Take up AD's point.
I don't know. I mean, I've no idea what I think about Minté. Sometimes you think, gosh, yes, what a steal he was, and then at other times, I think Newcastle must be laughing their heads off at us paying all that money for him. Because, you know, he has got speed and he can do some very, you know, some great things. But I go back to the very first game of the season. He belted the ball past Mykolenko, outpaced him, crossed with his right foot. We scored. And I'm struggling to remember if he's ever done that again.
No, he hasn't.
He just wants to get the ball onto his left. He slows the game down. He's scored goals. I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure he'd be my first choice right-sided attacker.
Would you prefer to start with Solly March at the moment?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Even only a not 100%. I mean, well, we don't know how fit, but I mean, I don't think he's a 90 minutes fit yet, is he?
Solly himself is saying he's not fit to start games.
But you know, if there was a fit. But, you know, maybe we'll buy a few more wingers over the summer.
We've only got one from Sunderland, right?
Yeah, I know. This goes back to the overwhelming need, you know, the glaring absence of pace in the back four, which we've always known is the missing link. I mean, Vitor Reyes, you know, the guy from Palmeiras, is it, that we were in for and City gazumped us. You know, that shows that we've identified the problem and we've identified the players to solve the problem. But you've got to get the deals over the line. Mm. You know, we need a Des Walker. We need,
probably more of a Carl Walker if you're talking about speed. Because, I mean, like I say, in theory,
same, really.
Yeah, well, the thing is,
luckily, I'm not in charge of the team, but I would have chosen just pick the fastest player we've got, whatever position they are, and played them as a sweeper between the two centre halves, and just say, right, when we've got the ball, you know, go off and attack. As soon as the other team has the ball, get between the two centre halves, and when the ball's played through us over the top, you know, get on your bike and cut that out.
Yeah. Because is that not Belieber anyway?
He's certainly faster than any of our other members of our back four. But I'm just thinking that someone like Solly, someone with Solly was the fastest player in the club, wasn't he? It was proved.
Lamptey held that record for a while didn't he?
But I think because there was an occasion, wasn't there, that Solly was actually faster than him in a foot race.
Oh,
in training, but. Yeah, or something like that. But that's the sort of thing that coaches don't do. They earn the big bucks, so they're entitled to play, you know, back fours, even though that's not what they arrived ever having done at their previous club.
Because the other thing is that, I mean, like any defender will say, yeah, it's one thing, but probably some of the world's best centre-halves of not being fast, necessarily, because their attitude is always, well, the first 2 yards are in your head. And if you've got that two-yard head start, knowing full well where the ball's going to go... But then, like say, there's times when, for instance, that particular pass, and the timing of the run, you know, You'd have probably had to have started off in the wrong position in order to cut that out. It's a bit like a when people criticise a keeper, the only way they could get to it is if the keeper had started in the wrong position, that kind of thing.
But, well, yeah. Part of it is injuries as well. We've got four defenders left. Well, perhaps we haven't actually, because we're playing, is Jack Hinchelwood a right back? Vifa came as a 30 million defensive midfield player and he's been forced to play right back. There's Hurtula's come in for an awful lot of stick, for an awful lot of reasons, but you can't really judge a rookie coach who's been given a squad that's, includes six or seven new players who don't, have never played in the Premier League before. And then you get about 9 or 10 injuries. I mean, it's when he's got his squad all fit, and he's been able to have a full pre-season with all of them, then you can possibly judge him. But I just don't think that you can possibly make any judgment about Hurtula when all he's doing is applying sticking plasters to them, probably to the players themselves.
Well, that's exactly it, because the injuries have just been mounting. And when you look at our injury list is still the biggest in the Premier League this season, which no one's really talking about. And actually, to be fair, Hurtula himself is saying, like, we're not going to blame the injuries. But when you look at the fact we've hardly seen Kadioglu, James Milner would have probably started some games. He would have started some games as
Milner and Vifa was the defensive midfield pairing for all the pre-season friendlies.
Started the season at Everton, didn't they?
O'Reilly gets crocked in his first, within 6 minutes of his first game. And the point that actually to highlight and underline Nick's point there is that when Fab did have a full card to deal from, a full deck to deal from, we made a brilliant start to the season and he got manager of the month. Yes, if that full squad. But then, having said that, just about every other squad, every other manager knows full well that they're actually going to lose some of their squad during the season. It's the extent to which you do it, and it's one to whom, and two how badly and how long.
O'Reilly did say after the Leicester game that he couldn't use it, injuries excuses, because we'd spent so much money in the summer. But that's missing the point for me. I completely disagree with the whole business of Tony Bloom can't be pleased after we spent all that money. It's not as if we spent all that money on Premier League-ready 26, 27 and 28-year-olds.
No.
A lot of the money was spent on players for the future. I mean, I think the best signing was probably Malik Yalcuye, who's been doing brilliantly at Sturm Graz. He's got to be in the squad next season.
But he will be, yeah.
He's not. He's not the fast central defender that's where we didn't spend that money. Of course, we've lost Igor, we lost Webster. If we lost three or four number 10s or number 7s or number 11s, then that's a position we could easily cover. But
there is talk that Igor could be back for the weekend. Milner could even be back for the weekend, and so could Ferdy. So, I mean, it's...
You could hear the creaking from here, can't you?
Well, James Milner. No, that's just him parking his helicopter.
Yeah.
I mean, one player that we will not be seeing for the next few weeks is João Pedro. I mean, there is some gesturing amongst the Albion faithful that he went away to Brazil, became their number 9, and came back as a terrible player.
I don't know. I think most people would quite like a Brazil number 9 in their squad, but no, I mean, I thought in the last two games he's been he's one thing you couldn't accuse him of is lack of effort. If anything, he's been sort of putting himself about much more than some of the other players. He's always involved, brings an energy, but a misplaced energy, and of course a massive frustration. And we were talking in just in the green room, as it were, about the fact that he got away with one in the home game against Brentford when he threw an elbow towards Yarmolyuk, didn't make contact and wasn't sent off.
But that was a more of a red card than the one he actually got.
This time, he was being fouled and the referee didn't stop it. If the referee had stopped the foul, then he wouldn't have felt the need to do what he did. But you can't blame the referee, I suppose. But yeah,
Well, the
Premier
thing
League
is,
footballers
one thing
know
I've
not to
had.
elbow people and kick them at the same time. So yeah, there it is. He's unavailable for 3 games, and we just have to make the best of it. And therefore, of course, giving Danny Welbeck some much needed rest was a logical position when you're considering substitutions.
Absolutely, because when you, I think this isn't a mitigation for him, but you could see the sort of like the red mist beginning to descend. There was an incident, well, not an incident, a part of play about 2 minutes beforehand, where he'd done really well. So I mean, it's not as though Pedro is off form or anything like that. All right, he's only scoring penalties, but you know he's. I agree with Nick. His work rate has been really good lately, but yeah, there was a moment where he got the ball near the byline. Belted it across the area, across the goal mouth. The nearest person to get to it was Jack Hinshelwood, and he was still 3 yards behind it. And you could see the look on Pedro's face as if to say, are you my teammates? Are you going to keep up? Do I have to do everything? He was, well, you don't know he's saying that, but if a picture paints 1,000 words, his was mostly filled with phlegm. Because he looked fuming, and he looked, I'm not going to say, he looked cheesed off, let's put it that way. And so here we are, the frustration. It's one thing taking the frustration out on the referee or your opponents or even your gaffer, but when you take it out on your teammates, because you think, hang on, we're losing here, we're not playing well, I've just given you an absolute, you know, sort of sitter, and there's no one there.
Well, I mean, the person presumably who should have been there was Danny Welbeck. If you're playing them as a sort of 9 and 10 combination,
Yeah.
but it's never really, to my mind, worked between those two. It's worked between Pedro and Jorginho and Welbeck and Jorginho, because in that situation, Jorginho takes the role of the 10, Pedro is the 9. But in those in that combination, which of them is doing which? And I'm never
Yeah.
really convinced that either of them really knows.
But one feature that we'd seen, I mean, because this was actually the third game in a row that Matt O'Riley's actually started, which shows, which is and this is probably the worst of the three, possibly. I don't think he was that impressive on Saturday, whereas I was very impressed with him in the previous two. But what he has been doing was arriving late in the box. And maybe he was
Well,
he even on the pitch at that point? I can't remember if he
no, I'm
was or
thinking the
not.
point is about this particular incident I'm talking about here. There was only
Yeah,
two
no,
other,
I just watched it.
two other Albion players in the box. So for all those who were due to be there, and Nick has suggested Welbeck, and you've suggested O'Riley, and or his replacement, and it was only Hinshelwood. Now, that's not to say that Hinshelwood couldn't have busted the gut, because actually, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter who busts the gut. And if Hinshelwood's there to knock it in from 3 yards, when sort of etiquette dictates that it's Welbeck, it doesn't really matter. But the fact is, there was no one, and that's what I think really got up Pedro's nose. That's
Yeah.
I'm taking this from a look on his face rather than actually having any insight
Well,
or
it
to
goes
knowing it,
back to
but.
what my Brentford sporting fan friend says, that we play good football with no cutting edge. People sometimes have got to get in there and get hurt. It's not called the sharp end for nothing.
Yeah,
But
this is true.
studs and stuff are flying.
Yeah.
And you've got to get in there. And, Danny Welbeck, to his credit, did get in there for that header.
It's a fantastic
I
header.
think he was actually pushed into it by was it Collins? I think he was
Yeah,
marking it.
it was
Kind of
a
nudged
beautiful
backwards.
ball though from Vifa.
Yeah. Who was one of the successes of the
Yes.
afternoon.
Okay. Well, I mean, like you said, you well back pull one back. Obviously, the defending for all 3 goals was a little bit iffy, but
You can
Brentford,
always argue, but the point is, AD, I mean, probably every single goal that's scored, unless you've
they're
got a
all
worldie.
deflected, really.
Well, no, I wasn't thinking that. But I mean, just about any goal in the Premier League ever, or any goal in football ever, you could
Yeah.
say was we could have done better. I mean, and with the exception of maybe a worldie screamer from the halfway line that you're not ready, it's everyone is in theory.
Yeah.
Possibly with the exception of the only one that really springs to mind that was against us recently, and I'm talking about the last 3 or 4 months, was Kluivert for Bournemouth. There's not a great deal you could have done about that one.
Yeah. Should we have had a penalty, Nick?
The dunk thing.
I've seen it several times. I saw it several times on the day as well. And I'm not. There's nothing in that that convinced me that it wasn't a penalty.
It's interesting because Dunk seemed to be suggesting that there was shirt pulling, didn't he?
It was
He was
wrestled to the
all,
ground.
which is it, because that's what we thought it would have should have been for. But Dunk was then gesturing to the referee and showing the shirt pulling. It struck me that at that stage it was a bit desperate. You know, it was a bit throwing yourself to the throw him to the floor. You know, just to try and get something as we're pressing for that equaliser. I wasn't as outraged by some, but then I haven't really seen it as many times as you possibly have.
Yeah, I watched it just before we started recording again, and it was
I thought you were talking about the Welbeck incident in the
well, the
first half.
Welbeck one in the first half was that he basically Welbeck put he put
He
his
threw
leg
himself over the
between
keeper's
the
feet.
keeper's legs and then fell over. So not a penalty in a million years. I mean
No.
the O'Reilly one in the first half, that I've put it under seen them given, but not for me, Clive.
No.
But I mean the Dunk one, I'm putting Stonewall on that.
I think the moment I think when we could have got back in the game was the Mitoma miss. You know, from that beautiful ball that was put in by Vifa,
Yeah.
he got behind the attack and j it was just on his wrong foot, and it went over the bar. But you know, if that goes in and then he scores the next one, you know, we were
Well,
very, very close to 3-3. 4-2 looks bad. Terrible marking from
yeah.
the free kick. But you know, I think that, you know, ironically, it was that those chance of you don't know what you're doing when he took Welbeck off. That turned the game and actually made us more dangerous because, you know, centre halves don't like not having a central striker to mark. They wonder what it is they've got to do, and having two wide men attacking them, you know, was a different challenge for them, and it very nearly paid off.
And another nice cameo from Sully, wasn't it?
They're all nice.
It
I
was.
just wonder if he's going to be a starter next season. I mean, he's what is he now? He's 30 now, is he?
30, yeah.
Yeah, he's
But he's
around there.
had 3 seasons off in total, hasn't he, with various injuries? So might not be as,
But
you know, quite as exhausted as some.
okay. Well, I was looking at the league table on this after this, and I was quite surprised to see that our goal difference is currently zero. And I thought, Christ, really? I
Don't
thought,
forget we had 6 wins in a row.
yeah.
None
But
of them
I
were.
thought that was pretty bad. But then I realised that we actually last season we finished a -7 goal difference.
Did we
We
really?
should have
Got those 7 goals back that Forest put past us against Southampton away.
yeah.
But we
Oh my
should have
God, it
had
could have been
10 that
10.
day.
Well,
Our finishing was dreadful.
to be fair, we did it in the next two games. It was Southampton and Chelsea. But
Yeah.
yes, I take your point. Yeah, I mean that could have. I can see how it is. Southampton concede 9 at home these days. It's
Oh.
just we didn't bother to do that.
Yeah, well,
Yeah.
another Yankuba Minter classic, wasn't it?
Oh.
When he'd actually gone past the keeper and was actually trying to roll the
He
ball into
put
an empty net
two
and still
people on
didn't
the
score.
floor and then wouldn't
Yes.
use his right foot. I mean,
Yes.
actually, the point you were making, actually, I was going to say this about Minte's miss. I mean, I know we're sort of taking the mickey a little bit. The angle that he was at, I mean, all right, he knocked it wide. I think that it would have been so difficult to have scored because he'd have had to have done it in just this tiniest narrow corridor. The very least one would expect is for him to make the keeper make a save. And I think that under other circumstances, that would have been sort of 90% of what could or should have happened. It's just that he didn't even make him make a save on account of the fact he'd knocked it wide. That's where the frustrating thing. The chances of him scoring were probably going to be less than 1% because
Yeah.
that narrow strip that he'd have been able to aim for would have been, well, you
Well,
know.
as it stands, we're currently on 55 goals, which is just two fewer than we scored the whole of the last season. So, which isn't too bad. Actually, we've scored the same amount of goals as Forest this season,
But I
which.
see this as, and I'm sure we'll come into this in the second half. I look on this as consolidation. Now I know that Paul Barber's used his, what was the phrase he used? It was remind me, what did he call this season?
Transition.
Transition. It's transition, consolidation,
Yeah.
other words that end in shun.
Yeah.
It's and
Frustration.
yes,
Good game.
frustration.
Like, love a game of frustration.
Yeah, it's a lot of the results, and we've had this ever since we got Graham Potter, is that a lot of the results have been worse than the performances.
Yeah.
And yeah, 4-2 looks horrific against the side that whose home record have been horrific. But you know, it's the nature. You do not talk about streaks in football because ultimately they mean nothing, as you say, AD. Form is temporary, and if Brentford's form is bad at home, then it's only going to be temporary.
I stand corrected. Look at our
best ever season, which was the one when we finished sixth.
Yeah.
We still had some shocking results around this stage. We lost at Nottingham Forest, didn't we? And that was not the Nottingham Forest of these days. We got absolutely mullered at Newcastle.
Was that the season we lost against Everton 5-1? Was that the same season?
Yes. And yet, you know, we pulled out the results that mattered and qualified for Europe and finished sixth. I mean, we're on course for our third best ever finish.
Yes.
In a transitional season. And, you know, individual games where we could have done better are frustrating, as I said. But there's other games that we've pulled out, you know, absolutely from the fire. The home win against Manchester United.
Yes.
You know, when they had a goal disallowed because a bloke managed to get his knee to the ball on the goal line.
Accidentally.
You know, that was a game we might not have won. The last ditch wins against Bournemouth and Fulham.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's
turning it around against Man City.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, it wasn't so long ago that you know we were disappointed only to get a 2-2 at Man City because of Belaba's astonishing miss.
Yeah, I mean, and you look at that record. I mean, I did ask the question. One day I'll actually go and find the answer. But when was the last season when a club did the double over Manchester United and Manchester City? In the same season.
Well, it probably has happened.
Even the top sides have done that.
Maybe. I stand corrected, but I credit us with two more goals than we've actually scored in the league. We only actually scored 53. We scored 55 last year, so we were two goals away from that. Although we did finish on 62 points last season, so we're on, what, 48 at the moment. So we've got a way to go to meet.
What we have done is consolidated our mid-table status. I think I'd like to think, especially if we can actually, you know, sort of knuckle down, and I think this would be a conversation for more presently, is that I don't think we're relegation fodder anymore. For all the, you know, there is just too much in our benefit to say that, well, let's put it this way, the bottom three this season have been a little bit of a sort of, a bit of a shoe-in.
I think it's an indictment of West Ham and Wolves that they've been as close to the bottom three as they had. I've got this theory.
Well, we're going to come to that in a second, Nick. But first, you're listening to the Albion Roar here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at radioreverb.com, on DAB, and of course on our podcast. We are brought to you in association with the lovely Flowers Unlimited. Alan, where can you find Flowers Unlimited?
The fragrant Flowers Unlimited are located at 175 to 177 Portland Road, Hove. I was about to say East Sussex, but what was once in East Sussex as a ceremonial county. Kind sponsors of the Albion Roar. David Costa, thank you very much indeed for your support and your benevolence towards this show. It's for all your floral needs, but also you get to various gifts there. You can get your chocolates, you can get your champagne there, and flowers for all occasions. It doesn't have to be just sort of like the mourning of the gaping holes we have in our defence. We can have celebrations. We can we can throw roses as we see fit.
Yes, it's opera season. You can throw roses.
It is, yeah. I was actually doing chocolates there. I was doing celebrations and roses. Yeah.
I mean, Nick's often playing. He'd love to have someone throw roses at him when he's on stage, wouldn't you, Nick?
I'm sure he would, yeah.
Well, again, you mean?
Yeah. Again. Well, it makes a change from underwear, doesn't it, Nick?
Yeah, you and Robin Cousins. So, the other thing is, of course, is if you're an Albion season ticket holder, just tell them that, actually, because I don't think, unless you're going to flash your season ticket card on your phone, then, which is a bit tragic, just say you're an Albion season ticket holder, and any cost they care to place upon you, you can immediately lock 20% off. Flowers Unlimited, 175 to 177 Portland Road, Hove. Thank you, David Costa.
Okay. Speaking of David's out, last week's show, we were very lucky to have young David Atherall on the show, and he was telling us all about his brand new book, Embers. Have you heard of Embers, Nick?
No, I haven't.
It's well, Embers. It's is a brand new book by David Atherall, strangely, which is it's a fictional tale based on the 96-97 season, telling a story. Not loosely based on himself, with some wonderful musical interludes, and there's other things going on. But he gave us a copy of the book to give away, and I'm about to. We've had lots
Well,
of
you do the
entries, I'm
draw,
about
and
to
I'll tell you
draw
what the
now.
question was.
Oh,
So
yeah.
you carry on with the draw. So I asked the question, which AD thought was a bit mealy-mouthed, but I thought was actually perfectly straightforward. Was who was voted Brighton and Hove Albion's player of the season for 96-97 season, even though we only really ran the competition in 2022? The answer was, of course, Stuart Storer. It was going to be so obvious because there was no one else, frankly. And so, who is our lucky recipient who has given this the answer of
I
Stuart
have just
Storer,
drawn.
AD?
I have the hat right here. I've just drawn it,
Okay.
and the winner of the competition is David Williams. So, congratulations, David. We'll be in contact in regards to that, and
And we get
you
the book
have
sent to
won
you.
a copy of another David Apparel's book, Embers. So,
Yep.
congratulations.
I'd say it's a semi-autobiographical book set in 96-97 season, where life mirrors up with life mirrors football and football mirrors life. I guess almost like the coming of age of a 16-year-old who doesn't really know any better. I mean, let's face it, he started watching football in the Albion in the 90s, and the 90s were not exactly a profitable time for us. They were, in fact, they were quite toxic, quite a lot. But so, yes, fabulous book, and congratulations, Mr. Williams,
Thanks,
and I
David.
hope you enjoy it.
Okay, before the interlude, we were talking about the championship, Nick, and you were about to say, tell me something.
The promoted teams, are the going to be in all probability, well, certainly are two of the teams who are relegated, and it sort of strengthens my theory that there's 15 teams in the Premier League. People say, oh, you just got to try and get to 40 points first, but that have been there for long enough to have built up such a store of players, such a store of funds, such a store of academy players, that it's going to be very, very hard, I would say, for them to get relegated. And we all know, one bad managerial appointment, a series of injuries, I suppose anyone can get relegated, but so hard for those promoted teams to compete. Even the ones, they come up with parachute money, they're given money, but they're up against teams with such established squads. I don't really know what they're supposed to do. Let's say Bristol City come up, who've never played in the Premier League before. What we did, as a team that had not played in the Premier League was pretty good, but we had some very experienced players. We had a very experienced manager. We had a couple of very inspired signings, Pascal Gross being the big most obvious one. But the second season we nearly went down again. And
Yeah, those
I
first two
just think
seasons were
that those
tough.
promoted teams, even Leeds, you'd think a club with the resources of Leeds would have been able to make a better fist of it last time. I think probably the club that worries me most has been someone who could elbow us out of the 15 might be Birmingham City with all the cash that's behind them. But what they don't have is the know-how and the experience of having been there and done it.
Yeah,
So I
well, I
kind
mean,
of fear for.
Birmingham are going to struggle next season because of the difference, because they can actually spend more money. It's a bizarre twist of the rules, but the rules in the Championship means you can't spend as much money as you can in League One, bizarrely. It's something that Kieran Maguire has been
I was
telling
about
us.
to say
And
that.
they've done it on the strength of that incredibly miserly defence.
yeah.
But it's one thing keeping out championship attacks, with a couple of almost unknown central defenders. Actually, maybe Nottingham Forest have done something similar. But I watched them yesterday when they played Sheffield United, and you thought, well, Sheffield United are supposedly the third best team. They didn't really lay a finger on them. So they'll come up full of confidence. But Ipswich did as well. I mean, somebody actually inside Ipswich said, "Oh, you know, the Premier League won't be ready for us. We're so fit. You know, look at all those games we've won in the last few minutes of games. You know, that's what we'll try to do." And I said, "Well, you can try, but the difference is in the Championship, they haven't been bringing on three full internationals and to see out the last 10 minutes of games, and that's what you're going to be up against." And of course, that's been the thing. They haven't had any of those late miracles. It just hasn't happened because the squads, you know, are such that, you know, you can be 1-0 down to someone, and they'll bring on a, you know, three international midfield players to block the middle up.
Burnley's record in the Championship this season is very impressive, and they are probably the best placed side to actually survive next year, because they've made themselves very, very difficult to beat. 15 goals conceded. Although Scott Parker's been promoted three times, relegated twice, and sacked once. And Daniel Farke, the same, taken Norwich up twice. He's now taking Leeds up, and he was relegated twice with Norwich as well. So, good news for Albion loan players. Not the
Five.
two Facundo Buonanotte being relegated with Leicester City. Julian Cizo likely to be relegated with Ipswich. Jeremy Sarmiento, on the other hand, has now been promoted twice in two seasons. Last season with Ipswich, and now with Birmingham, without really playing.
Well, I'm not sure how those loans have really, with the only loan that's worked out well for us. Has been Yael Cuiar at Sturm Graz. That he's looked really great, but Kozier Dubry at Blackburn hardly played.
What I would say is that when Buonanotte first went to Leicester, the Leicester fans were quite sort of cheered and enamoured with him. And then Horseface came along, barely picked him or always subbed him. There is something about Buonanotte that certainly the Leicester fans appreciated. Whether
Pretty
he was.
spacious, isn't he?
Well, the thing is also he was playing, I think, more in his favourite place until such time as it wasn't even a case of Van Nistelrooy just sort of putting him somewhere where, frankly, Brighton managers have been doing and not to his best advantage, but not playing him at all. And, you know, I think that they felt that they've missed out on a little bit of energy that he brings. So, and like I say, when you're talking about playing for teams that are subsequently getting relegated, you do worry about what it is they went A went on loan for, and B, you know, given that the idea is supposed to be that they're getting first team experience and not getting it.
Well, Julio is playing, so and it was nice to see him score the other day as well, actually. But
Played well at Chelsea, yes. But of course, Evan isn't playing at all. He was given his first start by West Ham away to Wolves and hooked at half time. Then watched from the bench for the whole of the home game against Bournemouth. Fulkrug was sent on and got a goal. I still believe there's a really promising centre forward in there in Ferguson, and I just don't see that other teams have the motivation to develop him and give him the time that we have. And I think we've got to bring him back and do something. Find him a loan abroad, or just find the right loan, because this one has been a disaster at
Is
West Ham.
Deserby still at Marseille?
Yes.
There were disruptions, though, weren't there? Well, I mean, that might be a good place. He was the see people t say, oh well, you know that West Ham was the right loan because he got his debut under Potter. Well, he got a 20 minutes at home to Burnley when we were 2-0 down and about to go 3-0 down, and a couple of games in some very junior competitions, but it was De Zerbi who gave him the run in the team and built up his confidence.
I mean,
So,
the other thing is, I cannot for the life of me understand the theory behind loaning a player to another team that's in your division. You know, because all you're doing, I suppose we've benefited. I think it's Chelsea benefited. We had Colwill on loan from Chelsea, and this is where I can say the Albion are not that keen on loans. Did really well for us, and we thought, well, we fancy him. Chelsea said no, he's coming back to us, and he's gone back there and.
gone backwards.
Well, my point is that could he have actually done better staying put? And of course, you know,
Couldn't have earned as much, that's for sure.
well, and the greenbacks are, you know, the grass is always more greenback than over here. But Could his career have actually benefited from staying here? Who knows? His England career wouldn't have done because the managers never picked Brighton players. It's agreeing and underlining Nick's point. If you're going to send either Nsiso out or Buonanotte out or even Ferguson out, send them to Belgium, send them to France, send them to the Netherlands, and they'll be playing first team football because there is so little motivation for a loanee club like West Ham, like Ipswich, to effectively make one of their borrowed players better for next time. And I say we lucked out that Colwell hasn't actually advanced on, because if he had done, that's on the back of what we've done.
Well, I mean, like Ferguson, Onciso, Buonanotte, Sarmiento, they're all going to be coming back
And
pre-season.
Barco.
I don't think Barco is coming back. I think his is a loan with to buy deal.
Oh,
And
nice.
he's doing really well under Rosie at Strasbourg.
Oh, he's gone there. I didn't realize he'd gone there. I didn't
Yeah,
know.
no, that's where he is. Yes,
Okay.
Rossini's the. Well, Rossini was mentioned as a possible managerial target back in the Premier League, wasn't he?
Well, I
Or
think
no,
he's.
Southampton. No, Southampton were thinking about.
Well, again, he's cutting his teeth elsewhere because, I mean, he was treated shabbily at Hull City. He took them on when they were 17th, left when they were, when they finished the season in seventh, or missed out on the playoffs by not very much, with the Hull City board saying, well, we absolutely demanded playoffs and we fully expected it. And you think, well, the delusion was enormous. And of course, up at Hull City, the blokes are a demigod.
Yeah, and
They still sing
they're
about.
looking relegation in the face at the moment.
Well, this is it. I mean, they've smacked a gift horse in the mouth, and this is Strasbourg's. Although I did see a tweet earlier today of Rossini giving the half-time team talk when Strasbourg had gone one down. I mean, I'm not going to repeat it, but it was pretty motivational. But the weird thing is he did it in English and did have to have a French translator. So he's not quite there
What's
with it.
French for this?
Yeah, I mean, for all the fact that the whole fans thought we were French.
That worked really well on the radio. I should point out I just did my
You did your post-Sheffield
Liam
Wednesday.
Rossini in push.
Yeah. Yes,
Yeah.
yeah. It's only two
Get
and it's
up,
not
lads.
enough.
Yes.
Yeah.
But okay. Well, like I said, I mean, so those guys are coming back. I mean, I suspect Sarmiento will go permanently. I think Facu. I'd like to see Facu here next season.
Yeah, because we're short of number 10s who can play right on the right. And
All right,
but
point
the thing
taken.
is, but I go back to when we had him, he was given the number 10 shirt in the Argentina under 20s team, which is that's not a number given away lightly. And
No.
yet we still didn't think he was good enough to be in the team. We had to bring in a lot of other number 10s as well and send him out on loan. So, he was he'd done he'd scored some good goals. One of my favourite ever Albion goals, the one assisted by Gross against Crystal Palace in the 4-1,
Oh yeah.
when Gross
Yes.
put the defender on his behind and then just touched it to Buonanotte, who swept it into the top corner, and scored a great long range goal at Bramall Lane. I mean, what was the guy not doing right that he had to be sent out on loan? I know what Nsiso was doing. Was not doing right. He was shooting every time he got the ball and not being a team player. But what there has he really advanced on that front through being a sub for Ipswich most of the time?
Well, actually, he's been starting for Ipswich, to be fair.
Not
So, yeah, but
recently, yeah. Does he look like a team player, Adu? That's my point.
well, it's had to be because I mean, basically, he's had to. They're not attacking very much. They're very much on the back foot at the moment. I mean, with Delap, who is a fantastic player, someone's going to be snapping him up. I quite like him myself, actually. He's a big, strong centre forward. But then we've got one of those in Evan if we can actually get the real Evan Ferguson back.
I was about to
Can
say,
I ask a question? Presumably, at the end of this season, we're going to want to offload some players. We're going to want to thin the squad out to get some of these loanies back. Who do you think is going to go? Because I mean, it's not that this season we've improved some players so much that they're going to command huge fees, with the exception of Belabor, who I desperately don't want us to sell.
I think it depends on who we get in first. I think we're going to buy before we sell. But having said that, it's not going to be as mad a market as last summer. But for instance, one name that actually often keeps cropping up, even though I don't want him to go, is Lamptey's on his way. But
Verbruggen.
we've shown how thin we are at right back. But let's suppose it's him, then we'd need at least one, maybe two right backs to come in first.
It'll be Verbruggen if anyone.
You think we're going
I
to.
wouldn't mind that. I've never been completely convinced by Verbruggen. I don't see many game-winning saves from shots that you would think were going to go in that he's kept out. The ball shots seem to go a little bit like Matty Ryan, that the ball goes in, quite easily past him sometimes. Okay, there might be, deflections and everything, but
Yeah.
for the attention he's attracted, I'd take the money. Given that we've got some good young goalkeepers and an experienced guy in Steele, I don't see where Simon Adingra gets into the squad, into the team. So I think
No.
he'd be
I think well
separate.
I think his patience has run a little
Yeah,
bit.
I mean
He's running on empty now, and it's like,
he's
and when
entitled to be a
he
starter somewhere. He
I
was
mean against
an African
Leicester,
Cup of
hang on, one
Nations
at a time,
winner
one at
and
a
player of the
time.
tournament.
Yeah. Sorry, go on, Nick.
He was an African Nations Cup winner and young player of the tournament. He's entitled to be a starter for someone,
Yeah.
and it's obviously not going to be us.
If his finishing was anything to go by against Leicester, then that would be another story. But yeah, I mean, there's so I mean we've got a big squad, and there will be people that will be people will be casting an eye over. I mean.
Well, there's one thing I would say is that we don't need to sell anyone.
No.
Whether we want to is another matter. Whether a nice price comes in.
Well, we need to have a happy squad, and frankly, that squad is too big to keep
Yeah.
everyone happy.
There is that, but what I mean is that if we're going to thin it out a little bit, I still fear that there's too many places where we are light on cover. Now, we've got four decent centre halves, and when two of them get injured, that means you. And we've got Cashin, who is obviously, as they say, one for the future. There's only so many centre halves you can have. There's only so many of this you can have. There's only so many. And it's working also on the assumption that maybe we were building a squad for Europe. Who knows? Obviously, not this season. We knew we weren't going to get it.
Yeah.
So they might thin it out again with a view to sort of replenishing later. But like I say, yes, we've got a lot of central midfield players, most of whom are pretty decent. I think we're probably going to need at least another forward on account of the fact that Welbeck can't carry everyone all the time. The fact that he's actually not that injured that much is actually a complete and utter reversal to what's gone on, previously in his career. For the fact that every player seems to have been crippled in the last sort of 2 years, Welbeck's managed to relatively stay clear of it, and certainly in comparison to how the rest of his career's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like I say, certainly fullbacks, we're going to need some better cover. And
Yeah. Well, we've got some in the academy as well. I mean, Charlie
well, Charlie
Tasker's been on.
Tarter, yeah.
He's been on the bench for the last
Listen, even
five games.
Harry Howell's been on the bench.
Yeah. Well, at some point, if they've been training with the first team, they obviously think they're good enough to be on the bench. Because at the end of the day, well, I mean, obviously with a 9-man bench, it's a bit easier to fill it these days with kids. But if they're on the bench, they've got and particularly as we're not blessed in numbers with defenders at the moment, at some point you're going to have to give them an opportunity.
Well, we did give Cashin an opportunity,
Yeah, but he's not a kid, he's a player, he's not
No, but
one
my
coming
point
through.
is that they put Cashin ahead, and then even more so than that, when Van Hekker was suspended, they didn't bring one of the kids in. They put Belieber back there, which obviously is a waste of his
I think
talent.
they missed a huge opportunity in that Southampton away game to give Cashin 20 minutes at the end
Maybe.
when we were under no danger at all. But we haven't played that many games where, there's a time for them to play under no pressure. We've generally played very close games. If we were 3-0 down at Brentford with 20 minutes to go, he might have just stuck Cashin on, and given Van Hekker a rest or Dunk a rest.
Or
But
if we'd have stuck those chances
when
away
it
against
starts in
Leicester.
the, yeah, but when it's yeah, but it's all in the balance, and you're going for the result right up to the final whistle.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like I say, the one of the reasons it's close is because we can't finish, you know,
Oh, yeah.
that.
Well, Leicester, we should have been, it should have finished 5-2 or something. No
Well,
question.
yeah. Well, and that's happened
Like
before,
we had
isn't
the
it?
previous
But
year.
that which brings us nicely on to Graham Potter and his
Yes.
last and his last game for the Albion was against Leicester. We didn't, the score was 5-2. Was
Should
it
have been
5-2 or was it
six.
5-1?
No, it's 5-2, and it
5-2.
should have been six,
Yeah.
but for that
Yeah.
disallowed goal of the season.
Yeah, well, that
Well,
was
I
Mbappe's
saw West Ham against Bournemouth the other week, 2-2 draw, and they're a team with no personality, no balance. I've no idea what Potter's been trying to do there. I mean, he presumably can say that he took over in mid-season and he won't see his team until he's had a pre-season, but I was very unimpressed by them. That Bournemouth should have beaten them. I'm glad they didn't.
Yeah.
For obvious Albion reasons, but I just part of it is that I don't like going to West Ham because it's such an appalling stadium. You know, it's very hard for the home fans to build up any sort of atmosphere. But you know, it was no, there. If I would be, if we manage to lose to West Ham, I think that will be a real indictment of where we are because I see there that's a club that's completely lost its way, I think.
Yeah. Well, obviously, with
I
Graham
don't know where
and
they'll
Bruno
win.
coming back, they'll be hungry to do something. And we know that Graham is a West Ham is a good fit for him, I think. I think if he's given time, he will turn them around into something decent, I think. You know, it doesn't happen. It took him 3 seasons to get us to score on a regular basis. So, and do you remember what the amount of nil-nil draws we had when he first got here? And it's kind of a similar vibe to what he's got going on there. Just because we are running out of time, will Van Hecker be available? I'm not quite sure what the concussion protocol is at the moment.
I was in what they laughingly called the mix zone, where reporters and players are supposed to mingle, where essentially they walk past us without looking at us, apart from the one player who's been told you've got to speak. And he, I mean, and they said, oh, you know, he was taken to an ambulance. He was flat on his back on a, you know, looked like a hospital trolley.
Yeah, he
He
was
wasn't
taking the gas and
conscious.
air at the time.
Oxygen and everything. And if you told me he wouldn't play again this season, I'd believe you, but. I don't know.
Isn't his head
I
made of
wouldn't risk it.
concrete? I mean,
No,
the
that's a
way he
proper Bond
plays,
villain.
not yeah. I mean, the way he normally plays is. I mean, this is a man of no danger. Yeah, I don't know what the concussion protocols are. I suspect it's probably more like 48 hours than a whole week.
Well, in rugby, it's 2 weeks, isn't it?
Is
I
it?
believe.
Yeah, but they really go mad for it. So.
I think we need him. I don't particularly want us to be playing without him, but
Yeah.
it needs must.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure we will find
I
out.
might
And
play Vifa at centre back. We were told Vifa could play centre in centre
well, and
defence.
we also know that
But I mean,
Belaiba
you
can.
know, but Belabor looked so good against Leicester in central defence. You know that I was thinking, well, there's our left-sided central defender. You know, for the next 10 years. But not sure he wants that.
No.
Well, he definitely doesn't.
No, quite. And what a waste of his talent. So,
It is.
yeah.
Although he did stride forward majestically in that game when he got the opportunity, actually. He
Well, to be
was.
fair, that is what, given the opportunity, Dunk and/or Van Heck do. Even Webster, actually, in his early time, Webster used to do it all the time.
Well, he
He'd go,
still does.
and well, I mean, he'd go. What I mean is, if he sees a gap, he'll go for it. What he did previously is he'd actually beat three or four players rather than go for an empty gap,
Yeah, and then stop.
and then
And.
stop. Yeah. So yeah, no, it's I hope he's okay because, like I say, I mean, if nothing else, he's going to win Player of the Season. So
You think? I don't think so. I'm.
you,
I'm.
it's not going to be your choice. I'm convinced that it's not
It's
your.
him
No.
or Belabor. I don't really
It
see
is.
who else there
It
is.
is for me. It's a straight dogfight between Van Hecker and Belabor.
Georgie will get
No,
it.
no. He's not in the running. He started off too slowly for as a whole season goes. He started off his cameo when he came on against Man United was brilliant. He took a few games to get involved, and now he's missing the last, what, 8 games. I can't see it. And there
His
will
second
and
half
there've been
against
too many
Tottenham
games.
was player of the season stuff, but yeah, he hasn't.
There's too many games where he's gone missing as well. Not missing, just not as good as he could or should have been.
Which of the two of them are we going to curse by giving the Player of the Season award to?
Well, yeah, we don't want to go to Belabor because that means he'll definitely be off.
Well, I was about to say, I can't see Van Hecker going, so let's play it safe and give it to him then.
Okay, that's a deal.
Okay.
And with that is all we've got time for. So we've just signed the transfer warrant on several players here in one go. But thank you so much for listening to Alan Wares. Thank you to Nick Trepanic. I've been Ailey Packham. This has been the Albion Raw on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at radioreverb.com, on DAB, and of course on our podcast and in association with the wonderful Flowers Unlimited. Thanks for listening. We'll see you all again next week for another therapy session.
It's the time of the season when love runs high. In this time, give it to me easy and let me try with pleasured hands to take you in this time to promise. Show you everyone, it's the time of the season for loving. What's your name? Who's your daddy?
Who's your daddy?
Is he rich? Is he rich like me? Has he taken?
Anytime to show
you what you need to live.
Tell it to me slowly.
Tell you why
I really want to know. It's the time of the season for love.
Like me,
has he taken
any time
to show?